We serve an awesome God, a wonderful God. I just want to share something with you this morning that I believe that is so awesome. To many of us, it may be taking us back a few years. As I stand here this morning, I remember something shouting at me here, please. I don't remember that. It's only doing it now. All right. Some 35 years ago, I stood in front of this church with a young bride on my arm. It was a Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The church didn't look like this. It still had the altar down the bottom. It still had the choir loft. I'll go back a few years before that. I was a Sunday school teacher in this church, and it was known as a Sunday school romance. Watch it. And folk, one thing I'll never forget. God answered, has answered prayers for Shirley and I for many, many years. I'll never change it for anything. You know, that old saying, God asked Adam, what will you give me for a helpmeet? Adam was silent for a while. And he said, how about a hand? He says, no, I need both hands to work with. He said, okay, what about one of your legs? He says, no, I need both to walk with. So God put Adam in a deep sleep because he couldn't make up his mind, and he took out a rib. That's why men have pain in their side. But you know what? Men don't laugh too loud. That pain's there to remind you of the intimacy of the love that you're supposed to have for your wife. And that is what has held Shirley and I together for 35 years. An intimacy that God has given to the two of us. Discussing it the other day, it may not be that reckless, if you want to call it that, reckless love that we had when we first got married. But there's a special type of bonding between the two of us right now that I'll never change for anything. I can't live without her. And I pray God she can't live without me. Okay. But to you, Shirley, God bless you, Mom. Wonderful wife. For 35 years, I appreciate it. Thank you. It was vrij gratis en voor niks. Okay. I'd like you to turn with me this morning, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 16. And I believe that it is actually quite fitting for me to be talking about this. And I want to read from verse 4. Ezekiel 16 from verse 4. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloth. No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field. When you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I passed you by, I saw you struggling in your own blood. And I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field. You grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. And I passed by you again and looked upon you. Indeed, your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. And I swore an oath to you and entered into covenant with you and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood and anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornament, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you are adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil, and you were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through your splendor which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord. What a wonderful love is portrayed in this passage of Scripture. Right here, I believe that we have an embodiment of God, a wonderful embodiment of God's marvelous grace. One of the most meaningful and intimate correspondence of the Christian life is that of love. A love that extends beyond the means or the norm of human understanding and thinking. You see, it's God's love for man and man's love for God. One of the wonderful one wonders how God loves a sinner. How could God love Israel? Because this Ezekiel is being told, tell Israel where they're at. Remind them of what they've done. And therefore one wonders how could God love Israel in its state of apostasy and rebellion? At the same time, it takes us back to make us wonder how God could love us while we were yet sinners. In the scripture we've just read, we need to note the key thoughts. What are the key thoughts? The love of God, the kindness of God. And I believe that we need to look at that and concentrate on that this morning. To remember that love, to remember the kindness of God. That while He saw us in our blood, the blood being the life of us, our life. Life was a sinful life. He said, I saw you in your blood. I saw you in your sin. I saw you as you were, filthy, dirty, discarded, set aside, pushed aside, ignored, as the world is doing to people around about them. I saw you in your blood. Yes, we see a comparison being drawn of man's sinful state to that of the poverty-stricken orphan who is taken into the loving care of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Folk, we know that the world offers us great pleasures of insecurity. The world offers us storms. The world offers us a whole lot of things that we don't need right now, but it does come. But I want to tell you this much today. God's love finds man in that sinful state. In that state of apostasy, that state of rebellion. That's where God's love finds you and I. And He lifts us up from rags to spiritual riches. And this morning I want us to take this beyond what we see here in the physical realm, what we see in the material world. I want us to take it further than that. I want us to take it into our lives and begin to grow our spiritual lives to the point where God wants us to be. This morning God says, I have something better for you. Isn't that so, Josh? That's what God said to us this morning. I have something greater for you. And folk, that's where God wants us to be, that spiritual riches where He wants us to go to. But sometimes we need to be reminded from where we came. God saw us in our blood. He saw us in our sinful state. You see, God loves us as individuals. But we need to understand that He hates the sinful activities that we indulge ourselves with. We were abandoned babies. We were just as that abandoned baby mentioned here in the scripture. Cast aside in the field. Nobody bothered to wash that child or cut the umbilical cord. That child was left there to die. It is said that as the Israelites were taken into captivity, the Chaldeans, as the women were giving birth, so they would take their child and cast it into the field and force the mother to walk on. There that child is still covered with all the blood of the birth. Still covered, nobody worrying about it. But that little baby, that innocent child, was taken and cast aside. That's what the world is doing to you and I. That's what the world is doing out there. And it's those innocent children, those innocent babes, that God looks upon and He says, I saw you in your blood. See, God doesn't ignore us, folk. He loves each and every one of us with a love that goes beyond our understanding, even our comprehension. Even while we were still sinners, God saw us. He said, I looked upon you, yes. I saw you in your blood and I looked and I said, live. Yes, I said, live. What an awesome word that is. God tells us to live. Live a life of sin? No. He said, live. He was giving us an opportunity to change our lives, to change our ways, to change what we were. But we grew up groveling in the dirt because nobody had taken the time to tell us what was good and what was wrong. And folk, I believe there comes a time in our lives where God looks upon us and He sees many things. He sees that there's a time that we need to be loved. And He reaches out and He covers us. But let me not go too far. So let us consider this morning the condition of that sinner, of the sinful life that many lead. In verse 4, it says this. Nor were you were washed with water to cleanse you. You were not wrapped. You were unwashed. You weren't washed at all. You weren't clean. You were still full of the blood. You were not received. You had not received the cleansing from God yet. Maybe in the physical realm, the baby will be washed, cleansed, everything else. But in our spiritual lives, there comes a time when we've got to realize we haven't been washed clean by God yet. And that's what God looks upon. He sees us as that sinner. Does He ignore us? I don't think so. Certainly, He makes it known. You see, we were living in our own righteousness. And as the word of God says, our righteousness is but as filthy rags. And I won't go into that story right now. But it's as filthy as what you can imagine a child being, all muddied up and playing in a millie land. Filthy, dirty, hair matted, unclean. In verse 5, it says, no eye pitied you. In other words, no one looked at you and took compassion upon you. No one wanted to help you. That's where the world leads us today. That's what the state is that we're in the world, when we're living in the world. No one wants to have anything to do with us. The typical worldly attitude. They're very quick to give advice to put us in a deep hole. No one had compassion on you. Also in verse 5 it says, they threw you out into the open field. You were exposed to all the elements. Not only the rain, the wind and the sun, but you're exposed to the onslaught of the evil one. You're on your own. You think you're righteous. You think that you're a goody two shoes. Oh, I'm doing all the good things. But you see, it's not the doing of the good things that get you into heaven. It's the believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that gets you where you have to be. You were exposed to Satan, to the misleading of false teachings, to the whims and fancies of the world. In verse 6, it says, and I saw you struggling in your own blood. You were oppressed, trodden underfoot. You were poverty-stricken. You were an outcast. Folk, that's what the life of a sinner is. But I don't want to harp on that too much this morning. I want us to get into the meat of the message. Something that is so wonderful. It goes beyond our understanding. It's the love of our Savior. The love of Jesus Christ is seen here in verse 6. It says, and I passed you by. You know what that tells me? I have a Savior that takes care. He doesn't ignore me. He knows where I'm at, yes. He knows all things because He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's always present. But I have a Savior that knows exactly where I'm at. I can put this image on that the world wants to see. I can be the big, tough guy. But deep down, I'm poverty-stricken orphan that's been cast out into the field. But yet I have a Savior who looks deep down into my life and says to me, David, I know exactly where you're at. I know what you're doing. I may be passing by, but you know what? I know what you're doing. And I still want you to come to me. See, folk, we sing that song, the Lord is passing by, reach out and touch Him. I want to tell you what, it may seem like the Lord is passing by. But this morning He stopped. He's not just passing by, He stopped. And He's looking down at each and every one of us here this morning. He knows what you're going through this morning. He knows where you're at right now. But He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. Because He came near in that passing by. He's taken notice of you. He sees all and he knows all. Then in verse 8, I believe we see something that many of us probably want to push aside, especially us men. You know, you're not compassionate. It's not the man's thing. Cowboys don't cry. In verse 8, you read this, and when I passed you by again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. Yeah, I see an infinite compassion. Compassion of a God who saw me before in my blood. He saw me before in my sinful state. And he realizes that I have now reached rock bottom. I'm lower than the belly of a snake in Snake Valley. I'm right down at the bottom of my life. But he says, I came, I passed by, but I saw that it was time for love. Do you think he just passes by? This God of infinite compassion. No, he reaches out. He sees how exposed I am, totally naked, how embarrassed, how humiliated I am. And he takes hold of me. He covers me with his wing to hide my embarrassment, to hide my humiliation, to hide everything that is terrible in my life. And he takes me and he washes me clean with water. But then he washes me with his blood. The blood of the Son of Jesus Christ. When asked the question, how much do you love me? He raised up his arms at Calvary for you and I. And he shed that blood to wash us clean, that our sins may not be seen. No more for the world to see. And as Josh brought that message, he took that sin and he cast it as far as the east is from the west. And he hung a sign there and says, no fishing. No fishing. It's cast into the lake of forgetfulness. Yes, I know Satan tries to go there and fish, but we need to just say, Father, I've confessed that. I've been washed clean by your blood. I've been cleansed. Jesus says, yes, and it's forgiven. It's forgotten. It's no longer an issue. And then I believe that as you look at it, there's a powerful word in that whole passage. In verse 6, I said to you, in your blood live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood live. God says to us, live today, but it's a different type of living. No longer in your blood, in your sinful state, does he say to you, live. He says, yes, I've washed you clean. I've given you a new life. I've cleansed you by my love, by my blood and my love. Now live in that love. Live in that compassion. Live having love for one another. Loving one another. Caring for one another, showing compassion towards one another, feeling for one another, knowing what we're going through without spreading it around like the newspapers, but having compassion that goes beyond our understanding, doing it as Jesus did for you. In verse 8, I believe the awesome love of a Savior is shown. Where he says, so I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. God takes us and protects us and covers our shame and humiliation. In fact, in Isaiah 61 verse 10, you can turn with me there. What an awesome scripture it is. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments. And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Folk, that's what God does for you and I. God covers us. And makes us people that can stand up again. From the pits of hell. From the pits of shame. From the pits of abomination. He raises us up. He says, stand up. Rise up. And walk. I've covered you. No longer are you a sinner. Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. We've been washed clean. You see, folk, God has placed His robe of righteousness over us. It's no longer our robe of righteousness that is seen, but God's robe of holy righteousness that covers us. And we've been justified and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What are the privileges of being saved? Folks, there's so many privileges. I can only mention but a few this morning. Because I don't want to keep you here for too long. Shirley's already blowing me kisses. I believe that there are many privileges to it. In verse 8, as I've just said, I spread my shirt or my over you. Version I've just read, his wing covered me. It's his protection. His eternal protection over us, folk. No longer do we have to face the storms of life. We can be overcomers. I don't have to preach it. I've preached it so often in the last few weeks. But it is awesome when you begin to realize that no matter what your storm is, God has overcome that storm and there is total calm in your life because of what God has done for you. You see, that's His eternal protection. Then I've been washed. In verse 9, He says, I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed you of your blood. But God doesn't do a half job. He doesn't do a quarter job. He does a complete, perfect work in our lives. And when God comes in and we confess our sins, He is righteous and just and will forgive us of all our sins. It's not for you to do anything. It's not for me to do anything. All we need to do is confess Jesus is Lord. Believing in our hearts that He is the Son of God. What more? There's no payment that has to be made. There's no penance that has to be done. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. And when He washes us clean, He doesn't do half a job. He cleanses us from the top story right down to the bottom story. To the soles of your feet. Then in verse 10, He covers you with clothing. Not just any old clothing. With fine silk. Embroidered clothing. And I'm sure Sammy and Luca will tell us exactly what it is. That clothing that you would get in the Middle East is perfect. If it's fine silk linen, it's perfect. Hand embroidered with beautiful embroidery. God gives us a beautiful garment. It's washed clean. It's as white as snow. It covers you from head to toe. And then he says, I've anointed you in verse 9. God anoints us as his very own. We've been called to him. We are his anointed children. Not his frozen chosen, but his children. Anointed by God. We are the king's kids. Princes and princesses. Then, to top it all, he gives us jewelry. He adorns us with ornaments that our beauty is made perfect. That's the job that God does. He even rounds it off with even more than what we expect. No longer do you walk around in a negative attitude, with a filthy attitude. But you walk around knowing that there's something different. And you know what? People see it because of the smile on your face. Let's give our faces some exercise this morning. Okay? Let's put a smile on our dial that we can know, that the world can know. We're smiling not because we've misbehaved in the gents. Smoking in the gents like we did at high school. Okay. We can smile at the policeman and he doesn't have to say, hey, I've been smoking grass or what. It's got nothing to do with that. It's because Jesus is inside. We've got a reason to smile. We've got a reason to be positive. We've got a reason to be excited for life. Because there's a newfound joy. There's something joyful in us. With great expectation, we're facing an eternity with God. We're facing a new life. And folk, I believe that that's the greatest gift that God has for you and I today. And he's saying to all of us today, let's share that wonderful love of Jesus. Let's share it. And I want to see you not smiling. Come on, let's see those smiles. When you smile, I get excited. See, we've got to walk around that much that people can see the smile of Jesus. How far are you prepared to go to show the love of Jesus? You see, Jesus loved you so much. Gave his life. How much are you prepared to do today? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 through 13, we read this. And it happened that as he was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with tax gatherers and sinners? But when he heard this, he said, is it not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick? But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. And folk, today, that's what I believe God's saying. He came to call the sinner. He wants the sinner in. He didn't come to call the high and mighty. He came to call each and every one of us who realize where we've come from, that it was by the grace of God and God's grace only that we can stand smiling because Jesus is inside. We can stand smiling. He doesn't want sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats no longer suffice. But the blood of Jesus Christ is what He is wanting. He doesn't want your blood, so don't go and become blood brothers and sisters. He wants the blood of Jesus that washes you clean. That no man can come near you. Because as God said to the Israelites, paint the blood over the door posts. The angel of death passed by. And why? Because it was the blood of Jesus that was covering them. Today, if you've got the blood being cleansed by the blood of Jesus, I want to tell you what. The angel of death will pass by. You won't go to hell. You go to heaven. Because the blood of Jesus has covered you. No longer will you be found in your own blood, but by the blood of Jesus, you will be covered. Now is the time to put aside your pride, your likes and your dislikes, and to start loving and forgiving, just as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did when He came to earth to give you and I the greatest gift of all, Himself. And I'll leave that challenge with you this morning. As you move out here, just remember, you've got a gift to share with this world. Let the world know the love of Jesus. A wonderful love. A perfect love that is for each and every one of us here. God bless you all. Let us pray. Father God, how awesome Your love is. Father, I want to say thank You today that by Your blood, by Your love, through Your understanding, because of Your righteousness, we can share that greatest gift, Jesus Christ, with one another. Father God, thank You for Your love. Thank You, Lord Jesus.